Welcome to Smythe Street Cathedral's weekly sermon podcast. If you would like a copy of the notes for this sermon or more information about our church, please visit us online at www.smythestreetcathedral.com.
I live 7 houses away from the fire hall. Today I wished I lived further away, but I knew I couldn't avoid this.
I feel so afraid and alone are the words that I can almost hear my grandmother saying over and over as she appeared strong on the outside in front of her 4 young boys.
Rain and snow hit the windshields of the ambulance that hurried me out of the city to the IWK in Halifax.
I normally don't run to calls, but this one was not a time to walk. As I ran out of the house, I hollered back to Faith saying, "Please pray." A 3-month-old baby was in cardiac arrest at mile marker 253 on the Trans-Canada Highway.
From the inside of their home, she could hear the roaring of military trucks driving up and down the streets patrolling the neighborhood. Bandits were only 2 houses away, and they were threatening to destroy the whole area. It had been over 2 weeks since she had packed her husband's bags, and he had to go on a journey on horseback to the mountains of Cali, Colombia.
This turned into a long 8-hour drive filled with questions and fear for my mom and family.
"I do not know the man," Peter's words echoed from the courtyard to the heavens.
The call to serve never allows you the options to pick and choose. You can pretend you didn't hear the call, but how could you live with yourself after? Usually when we get a cardiac arrest call, it's too late. My role as chaplain is to comfort the survivors.
The stories from his previous trips of danger and how he barely escaped with his life kept going over and over in her head. Now all she could do was pray. Bill had a missionary's heart, and nothing was going to stop him from telling people about Jesus, even at the cost of his own life.
My cheeks were plump and rosy. I was a 2-year-old filled with life and mischief, until one day I suddenly collapsed. Testing discovered that I have a condition that caused skin rash and muscle swelling, making my muscles very weak.
As we flew down the highway, lights and siren, I could hear them in the back preparing the pediatric pads for the defibrillator and putting the baby mask on the oxygen tank. I checked my speed as I crossed the Longs Creek Bridge at Wollastook Park, 140 kilometers an hour.
A sigh of relief rippled from the depths of her soul and cut through the tense atmosphere. The love of her life had come home. She was always so excited to hear the stories about people, how they came to Christ. However, it just terrified her to learn of the treacherous situations that he had encountered.
"Giving it away, he suffered our iniquities. Giving it away, he counted the cross joy."
For months, my mom sat by my side as I was placed in a wheelchair, unable to lift my head, my arms, or my legs. I was unable to do anything for myself, so she did everything. She cared for me, washed me, changed my clothes and beddings, always praying to Jesus to be her strength.
There they were, 2 cars parked under the East Lane overpass, one with 4-lane flashers on, and 3 people standing behind the first car. We abruptly stopped behind them. We all ran for the car.
For my grandmother, life was extremely different when compared to the quiet little farm in London, Ontario, where she was raised. Over 5,000 kilometers away from her family and friends, she and Bill had moved to an unfamiliar place with their 1-year-old boy, Gerald. The simple things like going to the grocery store, getting on a bus, or even talking to her neighbors was a challenge. She was forced to learn a new language. She was forced to adapt to a new culture, eat different types of foods, and even learn to drive a standard pickup truck. Along with these hardships, she was faced with the struggle of giving birth to to her three boys, Wynn, Wayne, and Werner. She had given up everything for the cause of the gospel.
She did not know if she would be able to keep her job. She worried what would become of my future. So she would ask Jesus to help her trust him more.
There, back seat, driver's side. Somebody is already there with him doing CPR.
One day my grandfather said to her, "It's time to pack your bags. We are moving to Spain." Of course, this came as no surprise to her, where she had lived in various foreign countries already. So why not Spain? Once again, she found herself starting a new life, cooking new foods, making new friends, and adapting to a new culture. As in previous experiences, Grandma worked hard at making sure that everything was comfortable for her family.
The treatments were scary, and the fear and pain made me scream and cry. I'm sure this must have made my mother's heart hurt, as she did everything she could to be strong for me and comfort me.
Gray color, arms dangling, not breathing, lifeless. Cars were stopping to offer assistance, but mostly staring at a dead baby laying on the road. We held up blankets so people couldn't see what we were doing.
For my grandmother, Spain will always hold a very dear place in her heart, where that is where my grandfather is buried. I can still remember going to visit his grave. She would faithfully stop by the flower shop and buy some beautiful carnations to place on his gravesite. Once again, she was trying to be strong on the outside. She was lonely on the inside. She missed her husband.
He is not here, resurrecting our righteousness, forgetting our shame.
The staff at IWK became our family, celebrating every step along the way with us. They cheered when I could take my first step again. They were amazed at my mom's faith in God and her strength to care for me.
We put on the defibrillator, but it wouldn't give a shock. There is a heartbeat, a big gasp. He took a breath, and we waited. Applying the oxygen mask, he took another breath, and another, and another. Life had returned.
Even now that I am older, and though I am more prepared for them, I feel dizzy and the headaches hurt very much after my treatments. My mother is still my comfort. Her soft, steady hand holds mine and reminds me that she loves me and will never leave me.
After my grandfather passed away, my grandmother remained in Spain as a missionary. Her days were filled with prayer, counseling sessions, visitations, women's meetings, and ministering to the pastors and their families throughout the whole country. It just seemed like every time we sat down to have a meal, the door would ring, the doorbell would ring, or the phone would ring. She was always putting others above herself. Like her husband, she too had a missionary's heart. She gave it all away to tell people about Jesus.
The ambulance arrived. They took over. Police cars arrived. All was well. There were still people standing nearby. One was the mother, and the others were waiting for the lady who had done CPR. They were passing by and stopped to help a frantic mom. The CPR lady gave me a big hug. We shared tears of joy. The firefighter said that they could hear her praying. "I know this lady from our church, Tamara Brothers. She gave it away to give life."
No matter how tired or exhausted she is, she gives it away. She always makes time for me, and I know she will be there for me whenever I am at the IWK or somewhere else in the world. She gives herself for me over and over again as I grow up strong. She gives it away for me.
I do not know the man. Peter's words echoed from the courtyard to the heavens. He was speaking of Jesus. The same Jesus who had preached to multitudes, healed the sick, raised the dead to life, and had loved so many. Peter spoke of the same Jesus who is now sitting, abandoned, isolated, beaten, rejected in a cell. It seemed like a moment ago, Jesus shared a meal with his disciples, his closest friends, the ones who would never abandon him. It seemed like a moment ago, crowds were praising Jesus and shouting Hosanna as he rode into the city on a donkey. It seemed like a moment ago, he sat on a hill teaching the multitudes, captivating them with his grace and his love. It seemed like a moment, but now it seems so far away. Now, his closest friends were afraid, hiding and denying that they even knew him. Now, the same crowd shouted accusations against him, calling for his death. Now, those multitudes were captivated by anger and by hatred. This sacrifice was one that Jesus was willing to make. The esteem of the people was something he did not seek to keep. Their rejection was something that Jesus was willing to take because his own life was something that he was willing to give. The people, shaken and stirred by circumstance and temporary things, they demanded his crucifixion. Jesus complied, driven and devoted to eternity. Pass me a nail. Such words are meant for boards and houses, not people. Jesus lay on a cross, beaten, bruised, bleeding. He had been whipped to the maximum extent of the law, held back by technicality, not sympathy. The hammer dropped, the cross raised, Jesus exposed for all to see, dying the death of criminals, dying the death for you and me. Giving it away, he suffered our iniquities. Giving it away, he counted the cross joy, for he knew that his death would mean our life. Giving it away, he laid his own life down with criminals to take it up as the rightful heir of a heavenly throne. Giving it away, the grace that he bought is lavished upon us openly, freely, endlessly. He took our rejection that he might give his acceptance. He is not here. The angel's words shocked the women at the tomb. Expecting to see an empty body, they instead see an empty hole in the side of a hill. He is risen, leaving our sins in the grave, resurrecting our righteousness, forgetting our shame. He has taken our sinfulness and given us grace. I am coming soon. Jesus' word. He ascends into heaven above, for what he has gained is not fully delved out. Jesus has triumphed, his victory ours. He gave us his goodness because we never have enough, but he never runs out. Jesus is coming because he's not yet done giving.
Well, there are two commandments that Jesus taught were the main commandments of all the Bible. In other words, if you take all the Bible and you just put it all together into two fundamental principles, there are two tracks that, just like a train which is on a train track and there are two sides to it, there are two fundamental principles and commandments that Jesus taught all from Genesis all the way down through the law of Moses, all the way through the prophets, all the way to Jesus. Jesus said, this is what everything sits on. This is the very foundation. The first of the commandments is on your screen. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the other one is kind of similar, a bit shorter, but very fundamental. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Both of these commandments are about giving it away. Both of these commandments, give your life, your love and your life to God, give your love to others. It's all about giving it away. What makes moms so amazing? What makes moms so special is that they are givers. My mom was always a giver. Except when we had ice cream, she always said she didn't want any, but then had a little bit of all our ice creams. And in the end, she had more ice creams than the rest of us. What makes moms so special is they are givers. They gladly give their love away to the children. But it's not just for moms. It's not just for Edlyn giving her love away to Eunice. It's not just for the moms in the room. A lot of times, what I observe in the church is that a lot of times the moms are the ones that are most engaged. And the dads sometimes sit back a bit. The guys sit back a bit and just kind of, you almost like there's this feeling where following Jesus is a mom thing. It's not just for moms. Giving it away is for all of us. We are all called to give it away for others, to give our love away. So first, we are called to give it away for God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. In order to be able to do this, if you look at that phrase, love the Lord your God with all your heart, you quickly come to the realization that first of all, in order to do that, he has to be the Lord your God. It's a relational thing. If I say to you, I love my wife, which I do, I can only say I love my wife because 40 years ago, we entered into a special relationship. I became her husband, she became my wife. And so I can say, I love my wife because there is a relationship. To be able to say, I love God as my Lord, you first have to be able to say, he is my Lord. Is Jesus your Lord? The word Lord in the Bible means one who exercises authority over another. Can Jesus exercise authority over my life? Next Sunday, there's going to be some courageous people getting baptized. They are publicly saying, yes, Jesus is my Lord. They are making a courageous step. Because here's the thing. Following Jesus has always been for courageous people. All the way down through history. The people that followed Jesus were courageous people. It was never the easy road. It was never the road, wow. I mean, Jesus gave it away for us on the cross. That was an act of huge, massive love for the world. But it also was an act of great courage. And he calls us to give it away for him. Again, that's an act of love. It's an act of courage. It takes courage to follow Jesus. But here's what he tells us, and I think it's really interesting, this verse in Luke 9:24. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Words of Jesus. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. That's pretty cool. That's fascinating. Because really, what he's telling us, if you give it away for Jesus, you actually get to keep it. Doesn't make sense at first, does it? If you try to keep your life and live it for yourself, you'll actually lose it. It's kind of like this time of the year, people are planting gardens. So you buy some seeds, say, I don't know, I'm not a gardener, so I'm going to probably mess it up. But you buy some tomato seeds. Is there such a thing as tomato seeds? Yes, thank you. You buy some tomato seeds, and you look at them, you say, these are mine. If you keep the seeds in your hand, guess what? They will eventually dry up and be no good. But if you take the seed and plant it, you get the seeds back in plenty. And giving it away is like that. Jesus is saying, you know what? You keep your life, you lose it. You give it away, you keep it. So the first commandment is, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Give it away for Him. The second one is we give it away by giving it to others. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when Jesus taught this, there was this religious leader, very brilliant guy, knew all the laws of God, and he tried to scurry around this particular point. And he asked the question, well, who's my neighbor? You see, do we get to choose who my neighbor is? Can I just say, you know what? I like that person, they are my neighbor. But I don't like that person, they are not my neighbor. That's not the deal. Jesus doesn't tell us you get to choose. No more than a mom gets to choose her child. You don't get to choose. So in both of these tracks, one is you give it away to God, another one, you give it away to your neighbor. So this guy says, well, who's my neighbor? So if I can define my neighbor, if I have the right to define my neighbor, then I can build my case that I'm okay. So Jesus replies with a story. It's known today as the story of the Good Samaritan. And here's kind of the way the story goes. A man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And while on the way, he was beaten, robbed of everything, including his clothes. And he was left to die. A Jewish priest happened to come by and he sees the injured man. He sees him. But he passes on the other side of the road and shows no love, no compassion for the man. He keeps going. See, again, it takes courage to follow and give it away. It's easier not to. So, the next person to pass by in the parable of the Good Samaritan is a Levite. A Levites were kind of lawyers of the law of Moses. And he does exactly what the Jewish priest does. He passes without showing any mercy. If anybody should have known the laws of God in the basic fundamental track of how everything is based, that everything sits on this track called love your neighbor, it would have been these two guys. They should have known better. But they didn't respond. And so Jesus goes on with the story and he introduces the next person, a Samaritan. One of the least likely to have shown compassion to the man. Samaritans were considered by the Jews second-class people. They did not really keep all the law. In fact, they didn't even know most of the law of God. Therefore, the Jews had nothing to do with them. But the good Samaritan saw the man in need, and he helped him. He gave it away. In fact, not only did he get down and help him, but he gave his animal away to take the guy. He gave his wine and oil to give medication to the man. He helped the man, and then he takes him to this place where he could take care of the guy while he's recuperating, and he pays for it. He gave it away. Again, an act of love and courage. Have you ever stopped for somebody doing on the highway when somebody's hitchhiking? What is it? Not recommended? Why? It's dangerous. You don't know what's going to happen. This guy not only stopped for the hitchhiker, he helped him and took care of him. So that's risky stuff. That takes courage. See, because following the way, the track of God, always takes courage. Fredericton is full of good Samaritans. I meet them all the time. People who give it away. They sit with the sick people. They volunteer to help with the needy. They risk it for other people. They help the poor for their neighbor. The other day I heard of a guy in Fredericton that takes it upon his heart to clean up all the graffiti in the city, free. Takes care of all the graffiti in the city. Anybody puts graffiti, they just call him and he comes, takes care of it. He does it because he loves his neighborhood. All kinds of people like that. All kinds of first responders that put themselves in harm's way of others. Firefighters, emergency people, police officers that really risk stuff for the rest of the community. I think of a story I recently read of Constable Mike Fox of the Fredericton Police Force. 4 years ago, a suicidal guy had climbed over the guardrail of the walking bridge in Fredericton. A bunch of people had gathered around and were trying to talk the guy off onto the bridge again and try to tell him, no, don't be doing this. While the bystanders were talking to this guy and trying to talk to him, Mike slipped in around behind where the guy couldn't see him, got over the rail, and started climbing down over to the edge of the rail and was going to make his way over to talk to the guy. And as he was doing this, the guy just all of a sudden abruptly said to the bystanders, it's done. I'm done. I'm going in. And he turned, and Mike thought to himself, I have no time to do anything except try to help this guy. So he jumps right over, it was like water underneath, jumps right over, grabs the guy, pins him to the wall, to the bridge wall, and hangs on until the police officers came running to rescue him. Now you'd say, well, no big deal. I mean, it's not that high. You know, Mike could have fallen in the water. He knows how to swim. He's got boots on. He's got police uniform. He's got a police vest. I don't know if you've ever put one on. I have. They wear a ton. He would have sunk down and wouldn't have probably made it. Why did he do that? He didn't want to see a guy that was damaged, that was injured, that was broken mentally in his mind and his emotions, and he wanted to give it away to save the guy's life. There are injured people all around us. Some of those obnoxious people that you don't like, some of them are injured. Some of them are hurting. And we are called to be good Samaritans and give it away. Not just moms. All of us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Give it away to him. Love your neighbor as yourself. Two tracks we travel on to give it away and gain our life. Jesus gave it away for you on the cross. He jumped over the railing of heaven to come down and die on the cross for every single one of us? Will you give it away for him? It takes courage. Following Jesus takes courage. And then he calls us to give it away for others, for our neighbors, for the broken, for the hurting. It also takes courage to do that. We thought long and hard about Mother's Day. In the past, we give flowers. We give roses to all the moms. And we said, why don't we take that money? I don't know if you know that. It's quite expensive to do that. And then you're worth it all. You're worth not only one rose. Every mom here is worth 500 dozen roses. But we thought, what if this year, instead of taking and just taking a little rose for each mom, why don't we give it away to someone that's broken in our society? And so we picked Transition House. And we're asking you at the end to just go back, sign that. Just put your name. Don't put a bunch of little notes in there because, dear gracious, who knows what notes we'll find. Just your name. And then we're going to give that to these ladies who are struggling in their life and give it away, like, as a church. There's a photo booth, and I encourage you to go take a picture with your mom and or grandmother. But right now, we're called to two tracks. One is give it away to Jesus, and two, give it away to others. Let's pray. God, we are called to be courageous people. You gave it all for us. You gave it all for us. You took huge risks for us. You were the Good Samaritan who stopped and gave us life. And you call us to do the same. When that religious man heard that story, Jesus, you asked him, who was neighbor in the story? Who was the one who loved his neighbor? And forcibly he had to say, the guy who stopped and helped. We pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, that we will be that way, that we will be people of action, that we will be people that says, hey, you know what? It's not about keeping it. It's about giving it. It's about giving love, giving blessing, giving compassion, and giving our lives to you, oh God, our Lord, our God. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen.